Test. Ah, found my mic. Awesome. Someone switched the mics in the studio. I had no idea what I was talking into. Happy New Year once again. I'm back. 2015 came in with a, kind of weird. But yeah, I'm actually getting the music, trying to get this system down. Who knows if I'm recording? We'll figure it out later. But as long as I'm live on the air, that's all that matters. So, God, I've been talking all day. I'm so tired, and yet I'm doing this. It's craziness. But hey, we got a lot of things going on. Bike world, this weekend especially, just a crazy mess out there in Texas. Yeah, I said it, Texas. And CX Nationals, the last day of racing, just took a major hit thanks to Mother Nature. You know, God, go figure, you know, cyclocross racing in the mud. What's up with that? That can't happen. It's not possible. I don't know what they were thinking. Yeah, big fiasco out there. But it got resolved and somewhat resolved. There's still a lot of very unhappy people, and I really don't blame them. What else is going on? Well, we had some first-of-the-year cross-country racing locally here in Southern Cal. We'll have some of those results up in momentarily. And our good old friend Brad House. Yes, the former voice and probably the master of this craziness we call Bike Sport Radio. He sent us an interview from good old Texas. He was out at a 6-hour mountain bike race. And got an interview with the promoter of the series. So, we're going to have the race calendar for this coming month, the rest of this month, I should say. Got a couple events coming up. Have some results from Ontario. The Icebreaker Crit. That morning was cold. CX Nationals, get a couple of the Pro National Champs listed in here, and some Southridge results, as well as a bunch of upcoming events. And some tell you a story about this crazy event I did last week. So let's go ahead and get started with this. CX Nationals held in Austin, Texas. As I said, it was a few days of racing. They started about midweek, and the weather went from nice to crappy real fast. And I guess there was some issue with some arbalists out there and whatnot, and they ended up shooing people off the reservation there. They were booting them out. LAPD. I'm thinking LAPD. Been in LA too long. The police department were actually, you know, citing and threatening arrest for people to get off the property in the park on Sunday, the final day of competition there. But they did get some racing in. They went from cancellation to postponement, and they got it to race on Monday. So a lot of the elites raced Monday. Some of the juniors raced Monday as well. And they combined a couple classes and things like that. But our new national champion, our elite national champion, was Jeremy Powers. From what I hear, a very dominant run on a modified course. Course was shorter too, so kind of knowing Jeremy's pretty powerful, so that helped him out. But following in second was Jonathan Page, and third was Zach McDonald in the men. Women, Katie Compton, dominant, took the national champion's jersey. She was challenged by Caitlin Antoneau. I know I slaughtered that last name, but that's okay. I apologize in advance. And third on the podium was Rachel Lloyd. If you want to see yourself, if you were at Nationals, want to see your results and your podium and whatnot, you can go on to USA Cycling's webpage, check in results, and there's a full list of results. I was going to try to do everybody, and it was like I only do an hour show. So it's not going to happen. But take a look on there. I will make a notable mention. Our new 70-plus national champion is a good old friend of mine, Dean. God, I never could say his last name. Good old Dean. We just know him by Dean. Anybody in the LA area knows Dean. He started cyclocross racing this year and ended up going to Texas and becoming the over. It's a 70 plus, or I won't want to say 75. Yeah, 70 plus national champion, which I thought was just, that was awesome. I mean, God, I hope I can still ride a bike when I get to 70 years of age. Good God, that would, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be riding a bike at 70. Yeah, you know, hey, I guess you're only as old as you feel. Sometimes I feel pretty old. Yeah, that was a pretty cool thing to hear, though. When I heard that rumor flying around, I was like, what? Dean? Really? Dean? But, you know, he's strong. See him out there racing cross-country, too. And he definitely, you know, he's out there moving. And, like I said, definitely people who think it's too late to start, get your tails out there, man, and get on it. It's never too late to start. You know, technology is great and technology is bad, and I want to throw technology out the window. I don't know if it's humanly possible. You know, laptops and all that garbage, they just never seem to work when you want them to work. But it is what it is. That's all that it is. Icebreaker GP was held in Ontario. And the Cat 123 men, the winner of that race was Daniel Gay. Oh, man. Horrible way to start off 2015. I can't even get the winners of a race name correct. Can't read my own writing. It's been one of those days. Anyways, Daniel Gay from Temecula. Riding for Spy Giant, took first in the Cat 123 men, followed by Adam Alvarez for Lux Specialized by Synergy, and Daniel Zitter out of La Jolla for SDBC Emerald Textiles was third. In the women, we have, so there's my notes here. Colleen Gulick took the win in the Open Women 1-2-3, followed by Shelby Reynolds and Amelia Tanner. And I remember Amelia when she was a little kid racing cyclocross. So she's out there smoking big girls now. What else do we have here in our notes today? All right. Yeah, all those results also can be found if you wish to look up the rest, and there are several categories to go. It can be found at the usacycling.org results page, and there you can find a whole listing of everybody's results. It's kind of nice. They're pretty quick, so it's a good thing. What events are coming up? Well, we have... I wonder if I should go into XC results. Let's stick with the dirt before I get you all excited about the upcoming races. Southridge USA kicked off their 24th year of dirt racing out in Funtucky, as we all call it. Good old Fontana around the big old mountain. And you know, the encroachment on that mountain, it's happening every day. They're building closer and closer and closer into that mountain, and you know, Donnie's crew is out there, and they're just making it happen. It's amazing. They're just making it happen. 24 years of racing, and it's just awesome to see them still going strong. But let's see. First race of their winter series was held last weekend, and sadly had to miss it, but hope he should be back for the next couple ones. Downhill Pro, I'm going to give you guys just the Pro results and some of the Super D results. Like I said, you've got so many categories, so many good people out there racing. I want to give you all your kudos, and I will over time. But only got an hour today. Anyways, Downhill Pro was won by Logan Bingelli. And Logan, if I said it wrong, correct me when I see you. Kevin Ayala. And Luca Cometti were the top three pro downhill racers. XC Pro, Cross Country Pros, the sufferers, as I call them, even though they don't suffer much, but Montana's a pretty nasty climb. XC Pro was won by Gustavo Pedrosa, followed by Daniel Munoz and Brian Carlson. And the pro woman won. She went to challenge the hill, and that was Chloe Cross, took the win there. Gave those boys a run for their money, I think. They usually do. Super D. That's real popular, real big right now. Everybody's kind of going to Super D, those who have some fitness and don't mind pedaling from point to point. That was won by, these names sound familiar to any of you older XC and downhill guys. The win was taken by Waylon Smith. The second was Eric Carter. And fourth was Eli Woody. So the top three in Super D. For the men, pro men, pro women in Super D, there were a few more there. And it was Caroline Romaine took first. Mary McCorgy. And once again, Mary, if I slaughtered your name, correct me when I see you. And then Donna Busher, the top three women in Super D. And they have this really cool event. They're called the 4x, the 4x. Basically, four people coming down the hill at the same time, same course. Kind of a little BMX-y. And the top rider there was Alan Hudson, followed by Blake Carney and Josh Graham. So there were a couple of your pros. And for results from Southridge USA, you can go on to southridgeusa.com on their results page, and you can take a look at everybody that race. By far, their downhill results page is pretty big. It's one of the bigger ones out there. So, it's interesting. What's coming up? Where do you want to go get your suffering in? Now let's take a look at what's coming up this month in the road world. The 17th, which I believe is Saturday, we've got the Rosanna Ranch Circuit Race. And that is out in Glen Helen. It's coming back to Glen Helen. And circuit race. It'd be a nice way to warm up your legs. And that terrain out there is pretty hilly. It's roly hilly, you know. Be a good place to go get some fitness in. That'll take place the January 17th. If you haven't suffered enough on the 17th and you feel like throwing some elbows and, just making yourself puke at the end of a race, we've got CBR's Bike Race Opener Criterium out at Dominguez Hills on Sunday the 18th. Personally, I don't have the build for a crit. I think I'm a little too small boned. But one day I think I'm going to try it. Just not sure where yet. But if anybody has some good ideas on racing a crit, let me know. Dropping stuff in here. Here's more of my pace. This talking Santa Barbara County Road Race. And that's taking place on the 24th, January 24th, out in Santa Maria. Sounds like a good time. Santa Barbara, Santa Maria. It's always a, good place to go for a ride. And the 31st of January, we've got the Boulevard Road Race down in Campo. Might be kind of nice to head down south. No, that's kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time this time of year. It could be really nice, or it could be really cold. Those events are coming up for the roadies out here. Sunday in Verdugo Park for those last minute crossers who just need a little bit of cross out of their system. It's actually the second to the last in the area. Verdugo Park's SoCal Cross Fever is going to happen Sunday at Verdugo Park. Races go from 8 to about 3, maybe 4, never know. The next weekend, the 24th, SoCal versus NorCal. Sam Barnes putting on his events up there in Hart Park. Come on, SoCalers, let's go and give them heck. Got to take the title back down. We need it. I think we own it. It should be ours. Give it. Let's get it. So yeah, pull out the cross bikes for one last run. Then, let's see. Not only have we got cross, that will wind up cross, and we are now in the full-fledged road and mountain bike season. You pretty much got to race any bloody weekend you want. You just have to decide where you want to go. Southridge, their winter series, as I mentioned earlier. First race happened already, but we still got 1, 2, 3, 4 more every other weekend. So the next race in this month is the 24th, 25th. Then going to February 7th and 8th, and pretty much skip a week and you're there. Let's see what else we got going on here. Ah, you really up for suffering? Temecula, 6 and 12 hours of Temecula coming up on the 31st of January. What a way to bring in the new year, right? First month, 6 hours, some torture. Course looks good. Jason Ronea, I think I'm going to get his name, Slaughter too, and yet I know him all the time. Yeah, Jason's just been doing all kinds of trail work out there with the rain we got down there. I mean, the trails are in the best condition he says he's ever seen them. And we're looking forward to just an awesome event down there. 6 and 12 hours of Temecula. Only way to go. Only way to go. For the endurance-minded folks. Anybody out there, if you know of other events, send me some links. Send me some messages. Let me know what's out there. If you're a promoter, a friend of a promoter, get me results. Let me get you guys on the air. You can use this as you wish, as you want. So let's do this. Let's talk about gnats. No, not gnats. Not the ones flying around your kitchen right now. If you have some fruit in the window, I'm pretty sure you've got some gnats flying around. Yeah, I don't know. CX Nationals in Austin. Well, everybody's upset, and I really don't blame them. A lot went down, and some of it was in control of the promoters, and some of it was not. But, you know, USA Cycling, everyone's got a love-hate relationship with them. And I got to admit, I'm the same. I'm not a fan of them. However, it's just not, things just didn't go right. I think the park was cool with the whole concept, but USA Cycling sent out a letter today, and it's available online everywhere, so you can check it out. And they kind of went through the whole story, you know, why people weren't being told what to do and what was going on. So basically, the rain came in. It's a really long letter. I was reading it earlier. And basically the rain came in and the local, I want to say the environmentalists, kind of similar to what we have out here, but out there it's these tree huggers. I'm just sorry to anybody who's a tree hugger. I like the environment too, but I mean, come on. They grow back. These trees, I guess, were, you know, very prized and sacred trees. And, I guess the course ran too close to some of their root systems, and as you know, it's a couple thousand riders over and over around this course, and with the rain, just started really tearing dirt up. And as the dirt was being ripped up, you know, they became aware that, you know, we got a problem. So there was some issues there. Oh, Brad. It's got a message. See, I love Facebook because I can get some messages. Love to have you call in, Brad, but I don't think I could pull it off. I got to get down this phone system a little better. So anyways, see, I get distracted. That's what's so nice about this show. Anyways, so the arbalist came in, and the society that protects these trees came in and says, no, this can't happen. Cancel this event. So, according to the letter, now, like I said, it's a love-hate relationship with USA Cycling. I have friends who are officials for them, and they're cyclists, and just like you and I. And, they said that, look, they had these alternative, backups in place, and, they just weren't given the notice. Is from what it appears to be in this letter, it appears that the they were blindsided, as the racers were as well. So the racers are showing up, and they're just being told, don't show up. They're being threatened with arrest. And racers are just trying to get information, and even the USAC officials who get there were, like, blindsided with, oh, yeah, you're being canceled today. So all these things went into place, and, they really couldn't come out and say anything until they had an answer, and that makes total sense. So, needless to say, a lot went in. There's a letter, like I said. You can find the letter on Facebook. You want to read it for yourself. Make out of it what you want to make out of it. Sounds like, they did what they had to do to get the event to, be delayed a day, which really didn't help those who, had to get to work the next day, get to school the next day, couldn't afford the travel plans and whatnot. So it was just a really kind of a debacle there. But they did get some racing off the next day. They made some adjustments. They went out there, spent a lot of money repairing the court, repairing the terrain, reconstructing sections and things like that. So, I think we need to give the race officials over there a little bit of a break, because I think it was stuff that was out of their control. When you're dealing with these environmental groups in the city, everybody's pockets, and I hate being political, but it's sad and it's true, and it's just something we have to deal with sometimes. Is we have to have a smile on our face and do what we need to do to get the job done. And I think USA Cycling did that. Now, for those, and this is a note, so if you're hearing me, you know somebody who was there and got their number and is ticked off because they didn't get to race and they lost their entry and their money and whatever, USA Cycling is going to refund your entry fee. I know it's nothing compared to the $1,000 you probably spent to get out there. But, they're at least they're making that, effort back to you. You're getting your entry fee money back. If you did not take the flag, so in other words, you picked up your number to race, but then you couldn't stick around the next day to race. So I know it's not a lot, but it's something, and it's not, how many times have they canceled a race and given you your money back? It's very rare. So most of these events are, rain or shine, put on and whatnot. So, when I first heard about the cancellation and whatnot, I just was like, oh, it's USA Cycling again, not caring about cyclocross. Because, cyclocross is the redheaded stepchild of the sport. It's not looked upon real prominently, and it's not big in the States. And, the fact that they went to bat for us to get the race on is a good thing. It shows that they do care. So, that's my say on it. Like I said, take a look on Facebook. There's a posting of the letter that USA Cycling sent out to all registrants of the CX Nationals in Austin. And, read it, give them a break. I personally think give them a break. I think they did their best and they got something going, and, we'll go from there. Speaking of Texas, let's listen to about a minute or so of a conversation with a promoter in Texas, the Dallas area, not in Austin. So think a little further south here, or east or west. I don't know. I don't have a map in front of me. I can't tell. But we got an interview with the promoter of the, of an event down there, 4 6-hour race. And, let's see if technology is going to be my friend and we're going to be able to play this interview. Let's see. We don't want that. We want this. Play. Telling you. Ah, there it is. Okay. Let's see now.
Bike Sport Radio is here at the Frozen Dorba Series. We're here at the first event of the series at Irwin Park in McKinney, Texas. I'm here with Matt. Matt, how you doing today? It's cold, huh?
Doing great, yeah. It's a little cold. We're hoping to get on the bikes and warm up soon.
Yeah, this is a... tell us about the race a little bit.
Well, we're at Irwin Park, as you said. We have about a 7.5-mile race loop. There's a 4-hour and 6-hour format. Basically, racers are all going to start together in a group start with a Le Mans run to their bikes. Everybody gets on and gets in the trail as quick as they can. And if you're racing for 4 hours, you do as many laps as possible until that 4-hour cutoff. And if you're doing six, you go 6 hours.
Excellent, excellent. And this is for Dorba. Dorba, tell us about Dorba a little bit.
Yeah, this is for Dorba, the Dallas Off-Road Bicycle Association, founded in 1988 to promote the sport of mountain biking in North Texas. Prior to Dorba, there were a few random walking trails and just kind of some bandit paths here and there in parks. But Dorba got together and create an organization to get agreements with cities and build more trails and a full infrastructure.
All right, great. We hope everybody out here joins Dorba or is already a Dorba member. And this is the first in the event of a series. How many races are there?
There are 3 races in this series. We have Irwin Park today. Next one coming up will be RCP on January 24th. And then on February 7th, we're going to be out at North Shore.
Cool. And how do we find out more about the events?
Go to Dorba.org for all information on Dorba and specifically on the racing. You can go to Dorba.org/racing.
All right, thanks. I'm Brad to the Bone on Bike Sport Rating. Thanks, Mac.
Thank you.
Brad to the Bone. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. Brad is hilarious. I love him. Ah, don't hit the person. Only in L.A. can you hear a horn in the background of a radio show. Isn't that funny? Brad, send me a quick message to see how you did in that race. I'm curious. How many hours did you make? Did you make the 4, the 6? Come on. Let's talk about some products. What do you say? I've been testing so many products that sometimes my head hurts. And everybody says, oh, that's so cool. You get to try this stuff out, and you get to do this, and you get to do that, and you get to do this. And I'm just like, you have no idea how hard it really is. It really is hard. Sometimes I just don't want it. No, I'm just kidding. Keep sending me stuff, everybody. It's all good. Whoa, wait a minute. Could it be? It looks like it's Brad House is calling in. Let me see. Let's see if I can answer this. Hold on. You there, Brad? Brad, call back. Call back and we'll try it again. Let's see. Oh, Brad. You there? Just not having a good day out here today. I don't know what's going on. It is what it is. Oh, well. Brad, call back. I know you're out there. Ah, there's his message. Sandbagger. Racing the pro class. How dare you. Took first in 55 Masters Plus. He's getting a busy signal. Let me see if this thing's on. All right, let's try it again. Okay, Brad, let's try it again. Let's see if you're there. Hello? Is that Brad? Now, I'm trying to figure this. Dude, I'm trying. You know, one day, dude, I don't know. No, it works well. It works well, actually. It has total user error. I'll give you that one. Hold on. Let's see if the phone.
Hey, I like what you're doing with the show, though, so far. I mean, it's cool. And you got the interview from Matt. That's Matt Malone. Matt Malone's with Dorba. And he's the event promoter for the Frozen series, appropriately called, and it's fucking freezing out here, dude. I mean, we literally had people in tents with propane heaters under their canopies.
You're just such a big baby.
I didn't see any loose fires or anything, but...
Such a baby. It's not that cold out. I mean, today we're running around in shorts, T-shirt. It's only, what, like 75? Oh, man, I had to grab my sweater when I left because it was like, 50 this morning. I mean...
Oh, poor baby.
I know, I mean, I don't know. I think when I go home...
I got out for a ride this afternoon, finally, after 3 days of being indoors and riding on the trainer because we had a warm day. It got up to 52. There were people out in shorts jogging around the lake, and, this is all relative. They say you acclimate to the weather, and I don't know. There are people in the shorts. They must have been crazy. I was still out of my full-on tights and three layers of long-sleeve shirt and a helmet liner and full-finger gloves. But, hey, this California boy is still not Texas tough yet. But
yeah.
It's been something.
So, wait, what was that now? You said 55-plus Masters? Is that what the class was?
They ran a 4-hour solo men, a 4-hour solo women, and a 6-hour solo men and a 6-hour solo women. And they didn't differentiate by age groups. But normally, you would do 45, 55 age groups for masters. And there was 8 entries in the 55 and over age group.
Are you that old now, Brad?
I'm 57, dude.
Oh, wow. You're just freaking ancient, falling apart.
I know, ancient. It gets easier. It doesn't get easier as you get older. There's just fewer guys, so the idea is to outlive your competition.
Oh, I wish that was true, and that's what I thought when I jumped to 45-plus. And then I realized that, they're just getting faster. I'm like, crap.
Yeah. So anyway, only 2 of us finished in the 55-plus.
For the 6, right?
And I beat the only other guy that finished.
You did the 6-hour.
5 laps. I did the 4-hour. On lap number 4, I was going as hard as I could, kind of thinking, maybe I can make the cutoff and they'll let me do another lap because they have rules on that. You can't start another lap unless you finish before a certain amount of time, And then as I got closer to the finish line, I was getting so tired. I was like, do I really want to do this? I don't even know where I'm placing. Everybody's past me. It seems like I'm out in the woods by myself. I'm going to freeze to die out here. And I came across the finish line, and I yelled at the official. I said, hey, what's going on? I'm in the 4 hours. Should I go into the lap, or am I done, or what? And he goes, no, you're doing really good. You got plenty of time. Do another lap. And I'm like, damn it. I really didn't want to do another lap. So I put my head down, and I went, and, riding through the ice, there were a couple spots with frozen puddles.
Okay.
Little frozen puddles. That was kind of cool to ride through.
Yeah.
And that was my slowest lap of the day. And sure enough, I was tired. I crashed twice on that lap. Hip checked a tree. And, what else? There was some mud section right before an uphill root section. And you know what happens when your tires are muddy and you're trying to climb uphill with roots.
No, tell me. What happens?
there's this thing called traction. Mud is a very good traction eliminator.
Oh, I see.
So I got almost to the top, a little whoopty, and slid. Tried to put my foot down, and I've got crank those pedals now, which I've only been using for 6 months.
Good choice. It's perfect in the mud.
Well, yeah, but they're a little harder to get out of, they seem to be.
What, and the crank
down pedals? I went on my hand and my hip and... laid there for a second, and two people came up behind me and stopped because they couldn't pass because I was laying across the trail. Are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Like, we're not leaving until we make sure you're okay. And I was like, I rolled to the side of the trail. I said, no, go ahead, go by, I'm fine.
You were a sigiller.
And I got up, and I kind of limped into the finish line and finished. And next thing I know, there's only one other guy that finished behind me in that age group.
You were a sig alert.
Yeah, a sig alert. The only two people left on the course, I think, were behind me.
Yeah.
No, there was all the 6-hour people were still going. So,
right.
So.
Yeah, that's the rule.
It's all at once.
Yeah, that's the rule. That's the rule when we do, when they do the 6 and 12 at Temecula, we all start mass start. They do us like a little parade lap. We do like half, a quarter of a lap, or half of it. They take certain sections out. Let us all string ourselves out, and fast guys go, and the rest of us are going to survive, kind of just chill in the middle.
We had 164 starters, even though it was freezing cold out there. I was surprised we had that many.
Yeah.
But probably because the sun actually came out. And it was a Le Mans start, so, you know, naturally I'm terrible at the run. We had to run downhill and make a U-turn and then run uphill to our bikes.
So this was a serious run.
To where you put your bike. So I put my bike in the very front of the pile. So I ran through everybody's bikes, jumped on mine, and there was no traffic.
I see. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, so that was a serious run. That wasn't just like, okay, run 100 feet, you know.
It was a quarter mile, maybe a little more, but not quite a half mile. It wasn't that far.
Wow, those guys are masochists out there.
About the run. I just said, you know what, toughen up. Texas tough. Come on, y'all, let's do it.
Uh-oh, you're getting the y'all on the twang going, huh? Shoot, you've been out there too long.
Yeah, well, not. Yeah. You know, the accents used to pick up and a little harder to
get
lost.
Uh-oh.
What's right is right, and I'm loving it down here. I'm loving it.
The next time we see hear Brad,
the event was a fundraiser for DORBA.
Okay.
And DORBA is the Dallas Off-Road Bicycle Association.
Yeah. So that's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
And so that
and
DORBA,
that
the DORBA
in three, I believe.
So DORBA is kind of like our NORBA up here, then, right? NORBA, who does all the trail maintenance.
Well, I'm not sure what... DORBA started in 1988 as an advocate group, I believe, advocating for trails and advocating for races.
Right.
They're not affiliated with IMBA, which is the International Mountain Bike Association. IMBA has a little more restrictions and has a little more... I don't know what you would say, but... DORBA does its own thing, you know? It's
local.
The Lone Star Republic of DORBA, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, that's cool. And, I mean, that's usually how, you know, you get the stuff going, man. I mean, you just... when things get too big, when they get international and they get national, you know, then, you know, your local affiliates just don't get everything they need. Whereas if you keep it local and you keep the control there... then, you know, yeah, you're going to get more work. You're going to actually see
right.
the work.
Right, you know? And we will resist. We will resist tyranny of the national organizations, and we will stay independent.
Oh,
that
Brad.
Seems to be the going attitude among DORBA, and they seem to be doing a great job. They've got a whole bunch of trail systems around with a list that constantly gets updated, whether the trails are open or closed due to weather. Harry Moss Park is the closest one to where I am now, and I've ridden it a couple of times. It's pretty cool. The next race is going to be at Rowlett Creek Park, which is up in Garland, and that's a short ways from me, too. And I've ridden that once, so I know that course. That's coming up January 24th.
Okay.
And then the final race, I don't remember where, Goat Island, maybe? I think it is. I'm not sure. Goat Island. I have
Goat
no idea
Island.
Why they call it Goat Island, but it's not really an island. Yeah. It's like a big sandbar with trees on it on the Trinity River.
I was going to
really
say,
cool.
I don't think there's much ocean where you're at, but
no the closest thing is probably White Rock Lake's kind of small, but there's Lake Joe Pool, and then there's also Lake Ray Hubbard, which is kind of like a small sea. I don't think you can see from shore to shore because it's so big.
Oh really? Wow.
And it does get a little bit of surf.
Hmm.
But I don't think anybody swims out there.
We're
land lubbers here, and
I'm
not a swimmer. I'm scared of water that moves or is over my head, so I'm fine. that's the Off-Road Association. Then there's for road racing, and I'll start sending Kill Radio and Bigfoot Radio some stuff on road events. Coparis Cove down in Killian. It's down somewhere near Waco. Is the upcoming road race this weekend. I'm not going because I have a meeting back in Louisville here in Dallas. I won't be able to make it in time, but it's TexBra is the local association. That's Texas Bicycle Racing Association.
Nice.
And they're at texbra.org. All the race calendars are on there, and I'm looking forward to getting a lot of stuff out to Kill Radio from the Texas scene to supplement the West Coast.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And like I said, we're trying to really get this thing nationally here, putting out a lot of words to people on both coasts to get me info. So, you know, we're going to make this thing go, man. Going to make it chill. Once again, you know, I got to deal with all this technical crap. You know, it's remembering how to push what and slide what and do this and do that, you know. It's just what it is.
Yeah, it takes a few shows.
Yeah.
I've done a few shows, so you got to do, you know, it took me about 30 shows because I'm a slow learner.
30 shows.
Before I finally got it down. But unfortunately, by the time I got to the 30th show, someone started doing upgrades and you know, red flag. Anything you see an upgrade, it's like, oh, God, more problems.
Yeah,
so
no.
I had to retrain myself again on a different recorder, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
I think we've got a great system going, and, you know, it's another media for the whole bike racing scene, and it's working well. It's all about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes.
Yeah, speaking of which, on the bike race scene, we've got been testing a bunch of products out here, and I'm just, like I said, I was telling earlier, I'm just like, oh my God, I gotta change tires again, I gotta put new sealant in, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta do this, I gotta change this again. My poor bikes don't even know what the hell they started out as. It's so many freaking new parts.
It's a mongoloid
on
now.
I mean, I'm all like, they're like, yeah, it used to look nice. Oh, wait, no, it still looks nice. It's just different.
Yeah.
They don't remember.
Yeah.
I can't even keep track of parts. Is that part worn out yet? No, I don't know. I can't remember. But
yeah.
No,
well, keep up the good work. Don't forget your field reporter down here in the rebel territory of the Southern Republic of Texas. Yeah. Send me some stuff that you don't want. I'll use it, break it, whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah, no,
on it.
Of course.
We're putting our banner up, by the way, at Rowlett Creek's race this weekend.
Awesome.
The Bike Radio banner will be out there, and I'll do some more recordings. Hoping to race as well and get some recordings with some of the promoters, sponsors, and some of the athletes, maybe. At Irwin, I did one recording. That was with Matt. Matt's a great guy. He's doing a great job out there. And it was just too freaking cold for reporting. So people were leaving as soon as they finished the race.
You're just like, they were really, really, really cold.
Yeah, well, yeah,
Brad, yeah, exactly. That's funny. Awesome, Brad. Well, it's good to hear your voice back on, and like I said, I'm going to try to make this thing work sometimes, you know? I know I'm recording, I just have no idea where it's recording to, so. But anyways.
I'll call in occasionally, too.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I'll let you know we're on. Like I said, our new time works for me and works for a lot of people. They can actually listen to it live. They can hear my screw-ups live, and I never get to live it down.
Yeah, I did. That's all right.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that one later then.
Yeah, I'll be out there in February, at the end of February. I don't know if I have a chance to see y'all or come down, but I'm out there around February 25th or so. And then, we will see if I get a chance to come around or not. So.
Yeah, no problem, man. It'd be awesome to have you back in studio.
All
we
right.
can do some bantering back and forth. It's always a good time. All right.
All right. Well, y'all keep up the good work out there, and we'll stay in touch.
Oh, God. Every time you say y'all, God, I can't deal with that. All right, Brad, take care, man. Ride safe.
We'll see ya.
That was good old Brad House out in Texas. So we were talking about... Ah, yes. Oh, speaking of weird off-the-wall events. Oh, God, how could I forget this? Anybody log on to my Facebook page, Robert Sandoval. Or I'll post the pictures of Bike Sport as well. It doesn't matter. Coaster Brake Challenge. The only thing I can say about that, Coaster Brake Challenge. Do it! I swear, do it! Oh my God, I had so much fun. Take you back to being a kid on your Stingray. I mean, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. There's a 4-race series put on by Paul, the owner of Atomic Cycles. I know he's going to yell at me for blasting on the internet, but everybody's got to go do it. It was so much fun. You never realize how spoiled you are with a free wheel. That's all I can say. Go find yourself a $20 beach cruiser, $40 beach cruiser. It doesn't matter. Something with a coaster brake. That's all it's got to have. Get out there and go race. He makes these challenges, and they're different locations around the San Fernando Valley. Tries to keep them they're underground, so you know you'll usually meet at Starbucks, and then you'll give you where to go, where we're gonna ride. Last weekend in the rain and shine too, so these are awesome. But past weekend, it was rain and riding across Mulholland on coaster brake bikes, single speed coaster brake bikes. The first 200 meters, not even the first 100 yards of this course, turned into a let's slosh through the mud run and carry our 30-pound bikes, which now have about 40 pounds of mud on them, uphill. Oh my God, it's brutal. The challenge was, like, before we even started the race, is like, how are you going to keep the mud off the bikes and drivetrain and stuff? So if you look on my page, the pictures from my bike, well, mind you, I had a $20 beater bike. I found it off some guy on Craigslist. He had a motor he was trying to put on and a battery. A thing weighed like 100 pounds. Clear all that off, rebuilt some stuff, repacked the coaster brake and said, let's do it. And, God, I was cruising. I was actually having a ball. I got through the mud thanks to my cyclocross abilities. Actually, I almost ran somebody over, crashed in front of me. Was moving pretty good. And we're cruising up the hill, and I was probably sitting like top five, which for me was pretty cool. I was like happy with that. And there was a 15-mile coaster brake race in the mud, in the rain. Okay, 15 miles. Think about that for a second. A regular 15-mile mountain bike ride, not a big deal. 15 miles on a single-speed coaster brake bike on a 30-pound beach cruiser. Yeah, think about it. Anyway, so cruising around in fifth, and I'm talking to one of my buddies who are motoring up this hill at a good clip. And all of a sudden, I'm just like watching him ride away, and all of a sudden, I feel like, God, my legs are getting heavy, and what's up with this? What's up with this? Why, you know, they shouldn't be that heavy. I'm only like 3 miles in. This is nothing. I'm just warming up. I looked down and realized that my seat post had dropped, I mean, almost to the bottom, and I was full-on low-ridering it up this hill, and my buddy just rode away from me. So I had to stop and crank the seat post tight, raise it back up, crank it up, and start again, and felt good for a couple strokes, and going around a corner, hit a little downhill, hit some more mud. Seat post dropped again. I was totally low-ridering this bike again. I'm like, gosh, really? Seriously? Telling you, $20 beach cruiser, okay? So nothing. So finally, I got so fed up with this thing because my legs are killing me now. And I just grabbed the Allen wrench, grabbed the C post, threw some mud in the C post, fiber grip, and every other carbon fiber paste you've all been replaced, okay? Mud. Just threw some mud in the C post, cranked that puppy down, left that thing high, and made it the rest of the ride. Never had to lower that seat. Everybody who finished this challenge just had the biggest smile on their face, except for the one guy who went over the bars and cut his eyelid with his lenses from his glasses that popped out. He still had a smile on his face. He still finished the race. It was just funny. The guy breaks some handlebars. He still had a smile on his face as he's trying to maneuver it back down to the start line. The flying pigeons, okay? Paul, one of our Chicken Leather, who's one of our DJs here, I couldn't believe it. He's running around with a flying pigeon, a little 700C coaster brake, Japanese, Chinese. I don't know what kind of bike it is. The flying pigeons were moving through the mud. It was just awesome to see, just hilarious. Seriously, go to atomiccycles.com. Check out the next result. Check out the next race. Go check it out. And if you want to try it, take your helmet, take some shoes. Paul's got some rentals sometimes, some extra bikes if you want to go give it a whirl and give it a try and go have some fun. This weekend's course is going to be a little longer. From what I hear, it's about 18 miles or so. It's going to have some fun in it, though. Definitely going to have some fun. It's going to have some challenging stuff. So, Coaster Brake Challenge. For me, I'm indecisive. I got way too many events this weekend. I really enjoyed the challenge. I actually really enjoy running that clunker. And like I said, it was an old beach cruiser, converted, three-piece cranks, and BMX bars. I'm just having a blast on that bike. And I've got all these beautiful, nice cross-country and road bikes, and I'm just like, I'm going to take the clunker out and go ride around the neighborhood. It's just such a blast. But the mud pictures on my Facebook page are just is just funny. I don't even know how the heck that thing rotated. When I got to the end of the race, I had no idea that there was that much mud able to stick to metal. It was hilarious. Just completely fun times. So that's going on this Sunday as well as the CX race and that's going on. And like I said, you know, winding down the bike sport. We're going to be, like I said, I got some product reviews coming up. I've been testing a lot of tire sealants in the last couple months. And, you know, everybody's just like, oh, Stans is the way to go, Stans is the way to go. And, you know, I was drinking the Kool-Aid for a little while. Like, oh, no, Stans works. And tried the slime, and I had some semi-successful luck with the slime one. And I was like, no, I'm going back to Stans, you know, for my racing, and this is a reliable one. And then I found another one, and I was like, ooh, this stuff is awesome. And then I found... Got a little birdie whistled at me one day and said, hey, got a new sealant I'm working on and should have it dialed in a couple months. And I was like, okay, let me know. Knowing this individual with the products they've made in the past, I've really been happy with what they made. And our friends at Speed Evolution, Derek Herman up there in the Big Bear area, came up with an awesome sealant. I'm not going to give you the full review on it right now, but I'm going to tell you this. All other companies out there who are making sealant, be careful. You have a serious contender coming up the ranks. Anybody who remembers the review on their valve stems, the Speed Evolution valve stems, I've had those in for a few months. I've neglected the clean on them on purpose. To see how they fare with, you know, real working man conditions and racing conditions, and still going strong. That's all I can say. Minimal clogging with those valve stems, just very, very, very well thought out and designed valve stems. So, Speed Evolution sealant happened to show up at my door, and let's just say it's a serious contender out there, you guys. I'll give you more on the Speed Energy. Did I say Speed? Oh, my God. I'm thinking of the Dakar Rally, Robbie Gordon. Speed Evolution is the sealant. Make sure I said that right. Speed Evolution. And Speed Evolution makes the valve stems, a couple of other really cool items, and... just some really cool, innovative items. Another friend of mine who's got something in the works coming out too, and we'll hopefully get some of our hands on those grubby little things by the next couple shows. ESI, take a look on their web page. Take a look on their Facebook page. They came up with something really new as well. You'll like it. I think most people are really... trying to get their hands on them already. Hopefully they can keep up with the demand. Other good people, local manufacturers. So let's support the local guys. Let's keep the local economy growing, our local race supporters going. And like I said, Speed Evolution, Derek Herman up there in the Big Bear area. Big Bear Cycles, I believe, is his store. He'll message me if I'm wrong, and I'll correct next time. But yeah, that sealant, I'm really, really, really happy with finding that. And he sent me another package of something else, but I will let you know if I'm allowed to talk about that yet. Sometimes things are top secret. Nobody should know what it is. So, everybody, it's a beautiful day. Head out. Ride your bike.